Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. So glad that you're here. Thank God that you're here. Thank you for the privilege of joining with you today to share from the Word of God. Debbie and I are humbled and honored that you allow us this privilege. And listen, friend, if he isn't your Savior, he can be. Hey, he came to be, but the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, look, I'm excited about the message, excited about the music, just excited about this privilege. You know, I was just getting ready to turn my recording equipment on. And boy, I just tell you, my heart just excited. And, well, it's almost like a devil said, son, what are you excited about? And I said, man, I'm getting ready to preach the Word of God. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9, probably go down through verse 15. And I'm going to share a message with you that God has laid on my heart. Oh, look, if you're saved on your way to heaven, we best pay attention to what Paul was saying. I'm going to give you my text even before Debbie sings. I don't do that very often, but I'm going to again today. Hey, I'm going to talk to you today about taking Paul's admonition seriously. We should. And I believe you will. Pray for me, won't you, as we look into the Word of God. And here's Debbie the song, one of my favorite, absolutely one of my favorites, and pretty much all of them are, by the way. She's going to tell us about how that we're saved by His grace. How true that is. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. You enjoy, won't you? I'll be back just as soon as Debbie is done in 1 Corinthians 3.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with Him. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved, by faith I am saved. I'm saved by His grace, saved by His grace.
I like that. Bless God. That's a good song, is it not? It's about as biblical as you can get, about as true as you can get. Friend, you can be saved that way today. My message is not about salvation. But you know what the Lord does? He takes His Word and uses it. And I'll tell you what, friend, listen, you can get saved. I don't care what message you're listening to from the Word of God. If somebody tells you the fact that Jesus entered this world through a virgin's womb, lived among man sinless, died for us substitutionally, was buried, and on the third and appointed morning came out from among the dead. Listen, He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there making intercession. He will receive whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord. And if you'll go to Him today, He'll save you, sir, ma'am. Look, it's not because I said it, but it is because He said it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Word of God says this beginning in verse 9. So for we are laborers together with God. Now, I don't know about you, but that phrase just absolutely just amazes me. Paul's talking to the church of Corinth, and Corinth had a lot of trouble. You know that? I mean, the church of Corinth, they had doubt, they had division, they had discipline problems, they had all kinds of difficulties and even disbelief. But let me tell you something. Paul said, to those who are saved, to those who are saved, we are laborers together with God. He said, you're God's husbandry. He said, you're God's building. Now watch what Paul said in verse 10 and following. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But watch this. Listen to this admonition. But let every man, that means man, woman, boy, or girl, take heed how he or she buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now listen to how many times that word is repeated in the next couple of verses. For the day shall declare it. And he's talking about a day of judgment, alright? He said the day shall declare it and make it plain. That's what he's saying. Because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it be. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. I'm going to talk to you, like I've already told you about this thought, I'm going to talk to you about taking Paul's admonition seriously. We ought to do that. He said, listen now, he said in the latter part of verse 10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Listen, we're building, do you hear me, for eternity. Now look, we're not building like that song says, I'm building something. Can't even think of it. It just come to mind and I can't get it clear enough to say, but we're not building a cabin up in glory land. We're not sending up material, bless God. Listen, God's talking about what we're doing here on planet Earth. What our part in the church is. What we're doing, man. Listen, we're talking about that place that God has as a habitation through the Spirit. And can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? I believe all the Word of God is important, don't you? I mean to tell you, all the Word of God is important. Every bit of it is significant. Every bit of it we ought to seek to understand, try to apply it to our life. Even those things that aren't written to us, they're written for us. But it seems to me that although all those Scriptures, all the Word of God, Genesis 1-1, Revelation 22-21, although they are significant, although they are important, although we ought to obey them, try to ingest them and then live them out. I want you to know, I believe that some passages demand great attention. And to me, in my opinion, this is one of those that does. Now look, this passage is about believers. It's about the believer's judgment as a servant. Everybody heard me say that, say amen. Look, it's not about whether you are saved or lost. It's not a time to discover whether you're going to heaven or not. Everybody that is at this judgment, it's known, according to the book of 2 Corinthians 5, 10, it's known as the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, but everybody that's there is saved. It's a saved individual. They've got eternal life. Friend, listen, they've been to Calvary. They've had their sins judged at a place called Calvary as sons and daughters of Almighty God. As they have grown or failed to grow in grace and in knowledge to work on their personal sanctification after their salvation under the day of the rapture. Listen, friend, that's when we are judged as sons. sons. It's an ongoing judgment. We're to do it ourselves, according to the book of 1 Corinthians 11 and other places. If we don't, God will do it. He'll take us to the woodshed. He'll chastise us. And I imagine everyone listening that is saved knows what it is to go to the spiritual woodshed, spiritually speaking. God chastises us, trains us, proves that He loves us. But oh, look, friend, this judgment is for those who belong to Christ, those who are saved, those who have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, those whose sins are under the blood, those who are going to heaven. But it's going to be a judgment about our service. It's going to be a judgment of us as stewards of the things of the Most High God. And the work, listen, the work that He entrusted to us, this work that He has entrusted to us, will be tested by Him, and so it should be. This work that He has given to us will be tested by Him, and so that is right. So that is right. So look, I've got three questions. Three questions for this message I want us to consider. First of all, I want you to consider this question. What are you building on? Hey, folks, listen, if you're not building on the right thing, listen, you're wrong from the beginning. What are you building with? I mean to tell you, we've got options here, and then what are you building for? That's the three points of this message. Simple, little messy, but I'll tell you what, I hope it probes. Look, when Paul was writing to the church, 2 Corinthians, when he was writing to this same church, this same group of people, boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. He called them brethren. I mean, he says some things about them. There's some revelations about the church of Corinth, what was going on there, what wasn't going on there, and yet Paul called them brethren. I mean to tell you, listen, the most carnal church we read about in the entire New Testament, and yet it's got in its letters that Paul penned under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we've got some of the greatest truths you can find anywhere in the Word of God. We've got the chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, on the body, 1 Corinthians 12, on resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, on the bema seat of Christ, that, hey, what's going to happen to us when we leave this body, we get a new one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, look, I could go on, but there's some marvelous things here. And Paul said, though, look, friend, he said this judgment seat of Christ, he said it's a terrible place. Listen to what he said. I'm just going to turn over and read it in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to get verse 10. He said this. Let me get just a part of it. I'm not even going to read it. I'm going to turn away from it. Just give you a part of who know Him. Therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, are you saved? Are you saved? You on your way to heaven? Or listen, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can I tell you, sir or ma'am, we ought to act like it. We ought to live like it. We ought to work like it. We ought to think like it. We ought to live in light of eternity. So let me ask you this. What are you building on? Look at verses 10 and 11. Paul said this. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon, to let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon for other foundation. Can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, over in the book of Matthew chapter 7, I believe Jesus, in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, He begins to talk about it building on a foundation. And He said, look, there's only two foundations. There's only two foundations. One of them is rock. One of them is sand. And look, friend, we need to be sure that we're building on the right one. The Bible tells us, friend, that the stone, if you're building your house on the rock, it'll stand. I mean to tell you, there's going to be rains that come. There's going to be storms that come. But Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, verses 24 and following, him will I liken unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that buildeth or heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened to a foolish man that's built his house upon the sand. Hey, folks, you and I decide what we're building on, and we need to build on the right thing for eternity. Now, can I tell you something? their own foundations might be things like this, like certain names, like Muhammad, you hear me, or like Buddha, or somebody like that. I'm telling you, some name that is associated with a religion, a false religion, or a philosophical idea, a set of philosophies and creeds that man try to live by. How about human reasoning? How about experience? And look, friend, listen, that's going to make a shipwreck of a lot of people today, is experience over doctrine. Do you hear me? Hey, folks, look, we're building for eternity. We're talking about the work that God has given us to do. He's entrusted us with, and He's going to test it someday. And all the church's one foundation, the writer said long ago, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can I read something to you? I love it. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His own creation by water and by word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride, and with His blood He bought her, and for His life, her life, He died. How wonderful that is. How wonderful. Paul said this. He said, as a wise master builder, and by the grace of God, I've laid the foundation for the church. I've laid a foundation for the habitation of God through the Spirit. And all we've been identified, friend, as co-laborers with God. And Paul, listen, admonishes us to build with materials that will endure the day of judgment, that will endure this test by fire. So let me ask you this. What are you building with? Only six options. And look, there's only one of two outcomes. He said there's gold and silver and precious stone. And then He says there is wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what He said in verse 12. And He said in verse 13, this judgment is about our works. It's about the rewards that we'll have. And it's only for those, friend, who are saved. Let me say that again. But can I say this too while I'm here? This is a judgment seat. It's not a mercy seat. We're going to meet the judge. Listen, we already met Him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We know Him as our Savior. But seeing that He is the Son, and the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5 that God has given all judgment to His Son, we need to understand that this is serious, friend. This is serious, and it's serious how we ought to guide our life. Now look. The Bible tells us that there are six different materials that we're to build with. And on this day that we live in, friend, I'm telling you, I believe some things that are all too obvious in this. And we begin to think about this gold, silver, and precious stone. And I don't know about you, but that's what I hope I'm building with. I'm afraid I've got too much wood, hay, and stubble. And you say, preacher, what will happen to them? Well, the gold, silver, and the precious stone will be refined by the fire. If that's possible, they'll come out more pure than they went in. But all, listen, the wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned by the fire. You say, well, I'd be lost. No, you won't be lost. But like J. Vernon McGee said, there are a lot of people who go to heaven and smell like they'll come through a fire cell. I mean, the works will be burned, but their spirit, their soul shall be saved in that day. Isn't that amazing? Look, this is a judgment about our works, our rewards. And again, it's only for those who are saved. It's not a mercy seat. I tell you again, it is a judgment seat. And look what the Word of God says. He said, now the day in verse 13 shall declare it. You know what that word declare means? You know what that word declare means? It means to make plain. And oh, how many issues be made plain in that day? How many issues, sir, ma'am, in my life and in your life will be made plain in that day? How about things like unconfessed sin? How about recklessness in the way that we live and the way that we treat God, the Word of God, worship, going to the house of God? Boy, this gets close, does it not? I mean to tell you, friend, listen, this ought to stir us. This ought to move us. This ought to motivate us. How about spiritual neglect? How about, you know, putting it off, being spiritually lazy? How about prayerlessness? How about worldliness? How about indifference? Oh, you know what the Word of God says? The Word of God said every man's works or work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, make it plain, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he buildeth thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Listen, material that we build with, it'll either be purified or destroyed. And listen, I'm afraid in this Laodicean age that we live in, we ought to set up, take note of this in a mighty way. Now look, we ought to be all about Christ. But can I ask you something? You that belong to the church, your church that you belong to, is it about Christ or about you? Is it about Christ or about yourself? Is it a Christ-centered church or is it a man-centered church? Hey, are you more worried about your experience, how you feel, what you think, than what the Word of God says? Buddy, listen, if you're more concerned about your experience, how you feel, regardless of what the Word of God says, you're in trouble. I mean to tell you, you're in trouble. And if you get to that place, if I were you, I believe I'd even check up on my testimony. I'd even check up on my profession of faith. Do you hear? And I know that's close, but I'm not going to take it back. This Laodicean church age we find spoken of in the book of Revelation 3:14. Listen, we got Jesus on the outside, man on the inside. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, people aren't worried about his person, his passion, or his position in churches like that. They're worried about their self. But oh, if you're building with gold, silver, precious stone, listen, that gold maybe speaks of the deity of Christ. Speaks of his person, speaks of his of the fact that he's co-equal, co-existing, co-eternal with God the Father. Talks about maybe his glory, who, according to the book of 2 Corinthians 13:11, who is blessed forevermore. Hey, this is God incarnate. This is God who is, was, and always shall be. And we ought to see him. We ought to glorify him. We ought to worship him. We ought to work according to what we do for his glory because of his person. And what about his passion? Remember the gold and the silver. Silver is always a picture of redemption in the Word of God. Maybe this talks about the price of redemption, how that Jesus paid for the sinner like me and you, sir, ma'am. It's Peter said this, we're not redeemed by corruptible things, but such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, who is a lamb without spot and without blemish. Oh, look, friend, listen. Hey, our church, our going to church, our work for eternity ought to be about the person of Christ. Ought to be about the passion of Christ. And what about his position? Oh, when John saw him over there in the Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Listen, John saw him in a wonderful place. Look, he's even going to be associated with a city that's got all kinds of great jewels. But verse 3 says, and he that sat upon the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Oh, friend, listen. Are you building with silver, gold, precious stone? Oh, friend, let's look at ourselves. Let's examine our own self. So much could be said here. So much could be said here about what we build with. Hey, is it for his glory or ours? Is it for his good or ours? Oh, listen, what's your life all about, yourself or him? So look now. It's not only just about what we are building on or what we're building with. But let me ask you this. What are you building for? What are you building for? Listen. For many, I'm telling you, it's going to be disappointing. For many, I'm telling you, what they're working for, listen, is going to disappear. Our performance down here, according to verse 13 again, is going to be revealed by fire. Listen, friend, he trusted us with this stuff, and he's going to test us one day. And I want you to please note the words. I want you to note the word repeated time and again, work. Our work, this judgment about our work so that we could receive rewards or else suffer the loss of rewards depending on our works, while we do them, the attitude, the purpose, the outcome, the desire, whether to glorify ourselves and to glorify God. And God said, I'll not share my glory with another. Listen, those that are here that'll be judged, that are being judged. I've already told you this before. I'm going to tell you it again. They got eternal life, or else they wouldn't be there. John said, though it is possible to be ashamed at his coming, and is appearing. And that judgment we're going to face, friend, listen, it's going to determine our position, our power, our place of service in the kingdom age. And can I tell you this in closing? This day, it's going to be a day of revelation. This day that Paul said will declare, it'll make known, it'll make plain our works, our purpose, our reason, our desire, our attitude behind it. It's going to make it plain. It's going to be a day of revelation. It's going to be a day of rewards and a day of regrets. And let me ask you this in closing. My time is quickly running by. What will it be for you? What in the world will it be for you? Look, we ought to take Paul's admonition. We ought to take it seriously. We ought to get busy with God. We ought to repent of our sin if we need to. We ought to quit being spiritually lazy. We ought to dig in, roll up our sleeves, get at it. We ought to get rid of man's philosophy and hang on to what thus saith the Lord. We ought to not worry about our experience as much as we concern ourselves about obeying God, pleasing Him, following the leadership of the Spirit, being obedient to the Word of God, that we have rightly divided. Hey, sir, ma'am, let me ask you, will it be reward or regret? Taking Paul's admonition seriously, I hope you do today. Oh, I hope you do today. Until the next time, thanks for tuning in.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.